I'd like to greet you this morning in the precious name of Christ. By the blood he shed on the cross, we have this forgiveness of sin, and by his resurrection from the dead, we have this blessed hope of life eternal. As always, it's my desire that this message would have something in it that would be just for you, perhaps a little nugget of God's truth, a little gem of his mercy, something hidden just for you that you could take and use to help in the days to come. In the midst of your challenges or perhaps your great joys, God has given us everything that we need in his word to sustain us through all things. The title of this message is A Path and a Pact, and the text comes from Isaiah chapter 30, basically the whole chapter, but we'll hit verse 1, verse 15, and then verses 18 to 26. So if you get the Isaiah chapter 30, you can figure it out from there. We will return to my effective ministry series next week. It's been a busy week this week with birthday parties and babysitting, and that series on effective ministry requires a lot of research, of which I didn't have the time really to commit to this week. So between babysitting and birthdays, schedules fill up. Although I've been told you can't call it babysitting if you're watching your own children. I don't know, but I still use that term. So anyway, this morning I would like to briefly consider our lives from the vantage point of a great trail. So this week we're going to do a little figurative hiking, if you will. And as we hike, we'll weave this scriptural account of Isaiah chapter 30 into all of this and hopefully contemplate our earthly lives, our earthly existence, in maybe a insightful way. Now, I've backpacked two long distance trails so far in my life, and I'm getting older. I'd like to do one more before they put my bones in the ground. I don't know if that'll happen, but that's what I'm aiming for. I've checked off the Appalachian Trail, and I've checked off the Colorado Trail, both beautiful in their own right. And both of those experiences, very time-consuming, labor-consuming, in some ways very traumatic, but both of those experiences had two common traits. Both followed a marked trail, and both had me carrying a burden of weight. You see, backpacking is quite different than perhaps a quick day out in the park or a little jog down the neighborhood. And it has many challenges and many difficulties that the weekend warriors have no clue about. Backpacking is rewarding, but it is not for the faint of heart. So to backpack, you need a trail and you need a pack. A path and a pack, we'll call it. That's why I titled it as I did, A Path and a Pack. The path leads you to the end of the trail, possibly thousands upon thousands of miles in the distant future. And the pack is the weight of what you carry with you for that journey. So as we contemplate our individual lives here, you're going to have to think about your own experiences. As Christians, we are following God's trail, the narrow way that leads each one of us toward his eternal kingdom. And we each one of us here, has our own weighty packs to carry along the way. That is, our own unique circumstances, responsibilities, and challenges of this life. Those areas that are unique to you. I think we can all envision that picture. Think of it now. In life, you are following a trail, and you're also carrying around a certain burden along the way. It's not a burden of sin, for as Christians, we've trusted in Jesus Christ to take our sin, take that load, take that particular burden from us, the weight of our sin. It's not a burden of sin, but rather it's a weight of the reality of your life. And that's going to look different for each one of us. Your unique challenges, circumstances, and responsibilities, they all combine to weigh upon your existence. Not a bad burden, but a real one nonetheless. Now, pause that picture in your mind if you have yourselves. Picture yourself, a big backpack heading off the trail, a big beard maybe. Just pause that picture. We'll come back to it in a little while. For now, we're going to consider the people of Judah as part of the nation of Israel. They too traveled life's trail, and they too carried the weight of their own reality of life. The prophet Isaiah is speaking to a people who had gotten misdirected, who had lost their way, who had forsaken the way of God, and instead they went down the wrong trail. That's what the prophets were always trying to tell them. You need to turn around. The pronouncement God gives the people of Judah is very specific to that people in that time, yet it also has the general truth that we can all appreciate even today. And we can take it to heart. We are all traveling this trail of life, whether Jew or Gentile, whether it's 4,000 years ago or today, we're all traveling the trail of life, a path and a pact. And God wants us all to safely arrive at the end of our journey to the safety of his eternal kingdom. That's what he desires for each one of us, to get to the end of our individual journeys into his glorious kingdom. So we're going to read from Isaiah chapter 30. We're going to read verse 1. We're going to jump to verse 15, and then we'll continue on. So verse 1 sort of indicates the problem. Verse 15 generalizes the solution. And then verses 18 to 26 gives God's final conclusion. So Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. And this is from the English Standard Version. It says, Ah, stubborn children, declared the Lord, who carry out a plan but not mine, who make an alliance but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. So there's the problem. Jump down to verse 15. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But you were unwilling. So God's giving the solution, and the people aren't responding in the way that they perhaps should. And then down to verse 18 is God's final conclusion. It says, therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For a people shall dwell in Zion, in Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. As soon as he hears it, he answers you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher. And your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. Then you will defile your carved idols overlaid with silver and your gold-plated metal images. You will scatter them as unclean things. You will say to them, be gone. And he will give rain for the seed with which you sow the ground, and bread, the produce of the ground, which will be rich and plenteous. In that day your livestock will graze in large pastures, and the oxen and the donkeys that work the ground will eat seasoned fodder, which has been winnowed and with shovel and fork. And on every lofty mountain and every high hill there will be brooks running with water in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold as the light of 7 days in the day when the Lord binds up the brokenness of his people and heals the wounds inflicted by his blow. Envisioning God's kingdom where there will be no more tears or pain or sorrow, but the Lord himself leading, directing, and speaking directly to his people. First one, again, we see the particular problem here for Judah, and we see humanity's problem in general. Woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin. So we are all guilty of living out verse 1 in our lives, all across humanity's history. It's not just particular to the nation of Judah. It's particular to all mankind. We are sinful people, heaping sin upon sin. That's the problem. Sin in its various forms lead us away from God, carrying out plans and traveling a path that are not his. In verse 15, we see the opportunity and God's solution here that we also each have. The old NIV renders it, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. So Judah had the chance to experience God's salvation, and they said, we don't want that. And likewise, we all have that chance to experience God's salvation through repentance and rest, with turning away from what is wrong and going towards what is good, God's salvation. The English Standard Version renders it in returning and rest, turning back to God. Either way, it hints at a turning away from sin and a turning toward God. The New Testament further clarifies what that means, that this is uniquely through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That's how we get back to God. We repent of our sin upon sin, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all uncleanliness. And in that is the power of rest in its finality. 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. You're not going to be cleansed by doing something good. You're not going to be cleansed by knowing someone powerful. You're cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ shed for each one of us. Acts 17, verse 30 to 31 says, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God now commands all people everywhere to repent, to turn back to him, because he has set a day when he is going to judge the world in righteousness by the man that he has appointed. He has provided proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead, speaking of the Christ. Hebrews 4:1 says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of us be found to have fallen short of it. Now, for the obstinate people of Judah in Isaiah's day, again, Isaiah was speaking to the people of Judah, repentance and rest were not something they were willing to do. They considered it in their minds, and they said, no, we're not going to do that. Therefore, they would not experience God's rest. And many times they tried to figure out their own source of salvation, their own solution to their problems. They had lots of problems, but instead of following God's directive, they said, I've got an idea. Let's go this way or that way. And it was always the wrong way. And it resulted in much grief and pain and death to Israel and Judah. But verse 18 to 26 is what we want to hone in on this morning, what I want to focus on. It speaks specifically of a future day for Israel and Judah, when the two tribes, you know, the true groups will be one again, no longer divided. The time of Jesus' millennial reign, 1,000 years of perfection. A promised people safe in their promised land. That's what God is saying here. You got a problem, I'm giving you the solution, and one day I'm going to give you the final conclusion, and that's going to be beautiful, wonderful, and blessed. So, again, it's speaking specifically to a group of people, but in general, it's speaking to the hopes of all people who secure the salvation of their souls through Jesus Christ. There is a promised rest for each one of us, not just Judah, not just Israel, but all believers. For the sake of the rest of our consideration this morning, what I would like to have us contemplate as we again get back to that picture of ourselves on a trail with a weight of a burden, I want us to focus on verse 20 and 21. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. Again, speaking specifically to a future day of Christ's return, but we can understand this also, at least to some degree, to our Christian journey here and now. God wants to direct his people. God wants to direct each one of us in our life. And as such, now we return to this path that we're each walking and the pack that we're each carrying. I remember while hiking the Appalachian Trail, doing the math, we'll say 20 years ago, might be a little, not quite, maybe, probably longer, but I like to think myself younger than I am. I remember when hiking the Appalachian Trail in the area leaving out of Harper's Ferry. Some of you have probably been to Harper's Ferry, West Virginia. Well, I hiked through there. And for historical preservation purposes, the trail was not marked like it usually was. Usually there's white paint marks or blazes on the trees or posts or where, every regular interval, so you don't lose the trail. Well, going out of Harper's Ferry, that wasn't the case because they were trying to preserve a historical integrity of the area. So you were sort of walking blind. It followed the C&O Canal, again, a historic area along the, I guess, what's the Potomac River. So it's a wide, popular path for recreation. There's lots of different people using that path in that area. And to add to the trouble, there were a lot of other trails that were bisecting, intersecting, or going along with the Appalachian Trail in that area. So the trail I was trying to follow was being intersected, bisected by all sorts of other trails. Long story short, I wasn't sure what to do, where to go, what trail to follow, because I couldn't see my normal white blaze. I needed direction. It wasn't clearly marked, and I became clearly confused. If you saw me that day, you would say, that man is confused. So I asked some of the casual walkers I came across, and they all had their own suggestions, trying to help. But to my frustration, many of the bicyclers and joggers and walkers were all giving advice, perhaps from their own perspective. Sincere though it was, it generally proved inaccurate to what I was trying to figure out. So I got even more confused trying to find my trail. Again, I needed to get back on the right trail, and I might just add here, because I think it's important, carrying a heavy backpack, I had a lot more to lose if their well-intended suggestions were wrong. Hey, buddy, go that way. Well, that's great for you to tell me, but I've got a 40-pound pack. It better be the right way. They would go back to their comfortable life. Well, I had to struggle in the wilderness. I did not want to waste my time and energy going the wrong way or following the wrong trail. It's very important at that point of backpacking that I go the right way. Life can be much like this. Speaking personally now, as a pastor, that's my vocation, that's my job. I carry a load of burden that is unique to me. You don't carry it. I carry it. It's my reality of life. Being responsible for a local church, even a small church, is very weighty indeed. Just like on the Appalachian Trail, as a pastor who carries perhaps a unique heavy weight, I don't want to waste my time going the wrong direction or following errant trails. My pack is heavy. I want the path I follow to be the right one. It is a burden that I and I alone have to carry. Again, speaking intensely personal, I have many times in the past felt spiritually like I did physically so many years ago outside of Harper's Ferry on that Appalachian Trail. Not sure what path to take, feeling the frustration of the pressure that I could be wasting time and energy. In the past, I have felt that in my life. Yet in those moments, those critical moments, again, think of your own life here. I'm speaking personally from mine. But we each have these moments. In those moments, those critical moments, God always spoke to me. This is the way, walk in it. I'm thinking of three specific occasions in my past that I am referencing. And they were choosing a wife, choosing a church, and becoming a pastor. Those three milestones of my life each started out with anxious uncertainty of the unknown. So many options, so many possibilities, so many questions. That's how all three of these started out with. But I was ultimately directed by the voice of God. This is the way, walk in it. Now, you don't want to pick the wrong wife. You don't want to pick the wrong church. And you don't want to pick the wrong career. Those are three big things in each one of our lives. People along the way, and again, think of your own experiences here. They'll give you helpful suggestions along the way of what you should do from their perspective, who you should date. Hey, maybe, did you ever think about so-and-so? You're like, no. But people will try and play matchmaker. It happens. People will try to tell you perhaps what career you need to go into. Maybe have you considered being a, you know, nuclear engineer? No, I've never thought of that. But they will try and direct you toward a certain path of career. And then with the beliefs, you know, there's always people telling all sorts of things about what direction you need to go as that's concerned. And the questioning of what is the right answer can be quite paralyzing. Again, if you think of your own life, you've experienced that, I know. What do I do in this situation? That is why it's so absolutely important, I think, to be in constant prayer, constant petitioning God's throne, to live in continual communion with God. Because he's saying here, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right and when you turn to the left. He's promising direction and guidance. My point is, when I'm backpacking, it is irrelevant where I might selfishly want the trail to go to suit my own ends, my own desires. Because to be honest with you, after backpacking all day with the 40-pound pack, I want it to be as easy as possible where the trail is going to go. I usually don't want to have to climb another mountain after a long day on the trail. But if I want to stay on the right trail, I go where the trail goes. If it was up a mountain or down a valley or across a river, so be it. To get to the end of the journey, you have to follow the trail. The same is true in our lives. Personally, I don't want to waste my time and energy pursuing the wrong path of my own desires? Because I know to be faithful to God's path, there will be countless more mountains to climb, countless more obstacles to face before I reach the end of my journey. And I want to go where God leads, not where I lead, because when Mark Kimmett starts making the decisions, Mark Kimmett is usually wrong. I want to go where God directs. I know you want to go where God leads your life. I need to marry the woman that God wants me to. That's very important, and I did. I need to be at the church that God directs me to. That's very important, and he did direct me. I need to work in the vocation that God has prepared me for, and he did. But there are all sorts of paths to follow in this life, and we all have found ourselves at times walking in the wrong direction. I don't want that for my life. I don't want to go the wrong way. And the right way for me very well may be the wrong way for you, and vice versa. The right wife for me better be the wrong wife for you. Let's just establish that. The right church for me might be the wrong church for others. The right job for me might be the wrong job for someone else. I have a unique path, and I have a unique pack. It's not better or worse than yours, but it is different. Likewise, you have a path and a pack. It is not better or worse than mine, but it is different. And it is very important that we understand this principle. God has a plan for the path that he has assigned to you. Great plans. And it is leading you to the glory of his eternal kingdom. That's what he's promised us. That's the end destination. But your path is not my path. And as you travel, you also carry a pack that's unique to your situation and reality of life. The weight you carry is different than the weight that I carry, but it is a weight nonetheless. I often think of those with health problems. During the prayer time, we often reference it. There's a lot of people with health difficulties. That's a pack of weight, of burdens that's known only to them. They know, they're the only ones that know what that feels like. I was thinking of Brenda. Her sister was having issues that they couldn't figure out, and I could tell we'd pray for her and she would give updates, but she was carrying a burden for her sister because there were so many directions to go, they didn't know which way was the right way. What was the right decision? So many unknowns. Jim and Donna, they're carrying a burden of weight. Matt and Glenda, they're carrying a burden of weight that only they know. And David Allen now has a weight that he's carrying. And all of us have experienced that to some extent. So many unanswered questions, so many options, and at times, no clear way forward. But I know each one of them wants to get it right. They want to make the right decision. They want God to give them direction. Or perhaps those dealing with great loss. My sister lost her 21-year-old son in a car accident about 7 years ago. Just beautiful life snuffed out in a second. Very few people understand the weight that her and her husband carry. So many years even after that, it's a weight that they and they alone have to bear. Perhaps financial stress has got you anxious, wondering which way to go. The burden of expenses is always a consideration. I was thinking back the Great Recession of 2008. Wasn't a good time to be a brick mason. And I'm sure Ed had a lot of questions back then. What do you want me to do, Lord? In hindsight, God directed him to the nuclear plant, which that's where we met. But God took care of him. God directed him. Didn't mean there weren't very anxious moments of what they needed to do or what the future looked like. But God is faithful. And there's any number of situations or circumstances. I'm not going to list them all, but you get the point. I don't have to name them. All the unique weight of life becomes quite obvious to the ones carrying it. So you know in your own mind now the own weight that you're carrying that maybe nobody else knows about. But it's very real to you because you're the one bearing it. We each carry a pack that only we know the burden of, and we each travel a path that only we can walk. That is why it is so important to stay focused on where God is leading you. You will be faced with many options and decisions, many suggestions and critiques, many people saying many things, but it is God's direction that we seek. And many times we will find ourselves uncertain, waiting for the right way, the right direction, trying to discern and perceive the correct path to take, carrying the pack of life's burden, not wanting to go the wrong way, not wanting to waste your time. I remember so clearly how God led me to Kara 18 years ago. This is the way, walk in it. I remember so clearly how God directed Kara and I to this church 16 years ago. This is the way, walk in it. And I remember so clearly how God called me to be the pastor of this church 10 years ago. This is the way, walk in it. I don't know how to explain it to you when God speaks audibly to your spirit, but he did. Just as clear as a bell, this is the way I want you to go. It doesn't happen often, but when it does, it's life-changing. So I hope that is true for your life as well, that as you think of your own experiences, that you can recall times that God has clearly directed your path, that he has clearly interceded on your behalf to direct you in the way that he wants or wanted you to go. He directed your steps, that is, your path and your pack, with unmistakable clarity. And if there were questions or uncertainties that would come, that you would patiently seek God's direction and answers. It's always easy to look back in hindsight and say, well, you always remember things easier than they actually were. But as we go through life, we must always remember when difficulties come, it's a time to seek God's direction, because he earnestly desires to direct our steps. So it does me well to remind myself that God has a purpose in everything. In good times and bad, easy days and rough days, he is directing toward his path of purpose. So in closing, returning to Isaiah 30, Judah would eventually be scattered all over the earth. All over the world, scattered to the wind because of their disobedience, because of their refusal to seek God's salvation. Yet God has promised to bring them back, the remnant that did believe, that did follow him, to the place where he has prepared a path and a pack leading to the glory of his millennial kingdom. And what a kingdom that will be when Christ rules bodily from Jerusalem. You see all these tin pot dictators trying to control the thoughts of men and the actions of men. Christ is the only person that can do that. He's the only one that can lead. And when he does, this world is going to be a marvelous place. So if it's true for the believers of Judah that spanning multiple millennia, thousands upon thousands of years, God's able to direct their paths back, it's true for you and I in our lives today, right here and now. God has a purposeful trail for you to walk. He has a purposeful trail for me to walk, a path and a pack, and it is leading to a wonderful place of rest and peace. So if I'm ever backpacking again, hopefully I will, I'm sure I will come to another frustrating section of trail. It always happens where I'm tired and I'm confused and it's a long day, faced with the question of where to go. Because again, when you're backpacking with a heavy pack, the last thing you want to do is go the wrong way. It's just the reality of backpacking, so it's bound to happen. Yet I know I will eventually find the right way. And in life, let us not lose heart when faced with uncertainty or with questions, when our pack is heavy and our path unsure, because our great God is not going to abandon us. He's not going to just leave us for the wolves to devour. He is very intricately concerned about each one of us. But let's make our course abundantly clear as we petition his throne of grace. In our times of uncertainty, in our individual lives, let us make it very clear the direction that we're going to go, and that's trusting in our great God and Savior. He will tell each one of us, this is the way, walk in it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, beautiful section of scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. He's going to tell you where to go. What a beautiful promise. Speaking to my own life, speaking into your life, fear not. God is with you. With a path and a pack, we can journey in confidence, knowing that God is leading the way. Let's pray. Father, as we contemplate our experiences here on earth and the times of uncertainty we have faced in the past, you have a way of speaking to our hearts, directing our steps. Lord, as I contemplate my life, even today, so many decisions, so many responsibilities, so many directions, I ask again for that clarity, that vivid direction that you are so able to give. And for everyone here that is facing their own challenges of their own lives, the own burdens that they carry, the own path that they walk, that you too would direct their steps, that you would speak to each one of us. We want to honor you with our lives, with our testimonies, with our families, with our futures. So we commit our days here on earth to your glorious cause and plan. You have a purpose. And we thank you for everything you've given us, all the blessings that you've provided. And we trust you moving forward. In Jesus' name, amen.